And good evening, and welcome. It is our privilege again to worship God together, so we welcome each of you here. It's a thrill to be together and have this time to worship. I want to note a couple of things as we begin this time of worship. One of those is, if you look in your bulletin, right under where it's the order of worship for the Sunday evening, you see the council is looking for church members to be on a committee to help to plan the services. We have some extra services now because we're not combining with Bethel. So the evening services in which I'm not preaching and we need to decide what we're going to do in those services, council is looking for people to help to plan those as well. So that is an opportunity to shape that and to be part of that, and would invite you to give that some thought if you'd like to be part of that. The people to call in there are Steve and Gary, if you're interested in that, and really invite you to give that some thought and prayer and perhaps jump in and be part of the planning. Also, just want to note again, we had that vision meeting, a meeting to look at our vision of the church after the service this morning, and just want to repeat again that if you have any comments to what you have seen, please, you can talk to somebody in council, you can talk to me, talk to anybody on the transition team as well, but we would love to hear any comments if you have those, so please feel free to do that. So we come into worship, we hear a call to worship, remembering that God invites us here, and I ask you to stand for that, please. From Psalm 122, I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." And a statement that it is a privilege, it is a joy to come to the house of the Lord. And again, God welcomes us, and we welcome each of you here. We hear God's greeting as we begin. God says to us, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. You may take your seats. We're going to have our singing time this morning, this evening. We don't have someone to lead us in that, so those songs are just going to kind of flow through, and you know well that you stand, I think it's on the third song, and it'll say that as well. So sing it through and stand when you're told and enjoy the singing time.
Thank you. Are there any prayer requests tonight? I was given a couple. Margaret Miedema had some tests, and we'll find out the results tomorrow, I think. And so we're going to pray for good results, something that they can do to help her with her pain. And Steve Waringa is still taking treatments for post-traumatic syndrome, and we pray that those will continue to help. And I guess most of you are wondering about Elaine. She's struggling right now. It seems about every 5 days it recurs, and we haven't found a solution yet. Okay.
Yeah. 16 people commit suicide every day.
What's her name?
Pardon me?
What's her name?
Jocelyn.
Okay. Jocelyn's going to be going into service for 3 months, so we want to pray for her and for the other servicemen. So often we take for granted that when they get out, everything is back to normal, but it isn't always. Any others?
Prayer prays that Harm had a good summer and made it safely home. He returns to Calvin this week with a sad heart, though. He learned that Friday night a good friend of his was struck by a car and killed. So he's a Calvin student, close friend of ours. So.
I don't know if you all could hear that, but Harm returned from where he was out west fighting fires, and that went well. He returns to college this week, but with a heavy heart, one of the students was killed in a car accident that he knew. Okay, I have that. Thank you. If not, shall we go to the Lord in prayer? Almighty God, we come before you tonight to praise you, to thank you, and to bring our requests and petitions before you. We praise you as the God of the patriarchs, the God of Israel, and the God of our parents and many of our parents and grandparents, and that you are our God also. You have been faithful through all generations. You have been merciful and long-suffering to each one who believes and trusts in you. We see you in all of creation and cannot fully understand your creativity, your power, your majesty, and above all, why you love us who are not worthy at all. Indeed, you are merciful and gracious to us. We see your love most clearly in when you sent your Son Jesus to rescue us, O Lord, from sin's dire punishments and to earn for us what we could never earn, and that is that we are seen as righteous in your sight because of what he has done, and we praise you for that. We confess that so often we lose sight of what you would have us to be and how we should live. Help us to strive for unity, to be selfless in our day-to-day interactions with whom everyone that we come in contact with. May we more and more set our minds and our hearts on you and the wonderful eternity that you have prepared for each one who trusts in you. We want to pray for all the members of our church family. We pray for the elderly who struggle with health problems and declining physical bodies. Keep their faith strong and bless the example that they gave and continue to give to the younger generations. We pray for wisdom for the parents as they guide their children through their growing up years. We pray for all the young adults and ask that you would guide their lives. At this time of the year, we pray for a special blessing on The college students, some have returned and some will be returning. We pray for their safety. We pray for Harm as he goes back. We pray for the students, O Lord, who will miss one of their group, and for the family that has lost a loved one. O Lord, comfort as only you can, and may the church community surround them with their love. We pray that each one of those as they study will be preparing for a life of serving you. We pray for the school-age children that they would be safe. We pray for the teachers, O Lord, who instruct them. Give them your wisdom, O Lord, as they teach these tender minds, O Lord, and teach them about you. We pray for the little ones, O Lord, who are not in school yet. How precious each one is. We lift up the mothers who guide them, and we think of the mothers who are carrying new lives. Bless those families with healthy children, and to you we will give all the honor and glory. In a special way, be with each of our members who is fighting cancer. Sometimes the struggle is very long and very hard. Uplift each one. Uplift their caregivers and their entire families. May they see, O Lord, a vision of you as one who cares for them and loves them no matter what happens. May each feel that presence in a very special way. We pray for Margaret Miedema as she finds out results tomorrow. May the results show that something can be done to help relieve her pain. We pray for Steve Wieringa and those who give him treatments, O Lord. Bless those treatments, O Lord, and give him healing and recovery. We think of all the service people, Lord, of Jocelyn, who will be going in for training. Lord, keep them safe and keep their faith strong, O Lord, as they're away from home and see many different temptations. We pray for all of our servicemen, wherever they are, around the world, Lord. As we heard in this week, O Lord, there are still those who lose their lives, as some did in Afghanistan again this week. Comfort those families, O Lord, and may each one of the servicemen seek your face. Bless Peter Huffman as he ministers to them. And, O Lord, we pray that when there are wounds other than physical, that you would heal them. We pray, O Lord, for our congregation. We thank you for the block party that was held last night. We pray that it may have been a good witness to the community. And, O Lord, help us to be friends to anyone and to all who are in need. We thank you for those that were willing to help with the party and to show love and concern. May it have been a blessing to our neighbors around us. We again want to remember our government leaders at all levels. May they seek your face and the welfare of all they represent. Protect each one in a time when hatred, violence, and anger seem to be so common. We know that though the wrong seems off so strong, you are still the ruler and your kingdom will come. Bless Pastor Harv and Kathy as they minister to us here. And now when he opens your word, we pray that you would give him an abundant measure of your spirit. We place all our prayers before you. And yes, Lord, I forgot Elaine. We pray that you would also strengthen her. Bless now our worship, Lord. And may the Spirit intercede on our behalf in all our needs. We pray in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Ken. We're going to take some time now to again look into God's Word. And as we prepare to do that, I want to just ask a question. Do you ever look back at your life and remember some of the things that you did and think, that wasn't very smart, and I'm thankful God carried me through that? I mean, that's it could have ended up worse than that. That we were kind of, I was kind of delivered from that, or delivered from what could have been. You ever look at this country and our world and see all the brokenness and ask, even though it's a really broken place, what would it look like if God did not intervene? I mean, it could be worse. If we didn't have God's intervention, what would that look like? One person that I read of thinking of this, her name was Anne, gave her last name as well, but I can't pronounce it, so I'm not even going to try. It was in a journal called Inside Journal, or Inside Story or something, and she was riding her mountain bike in somewhere in Southern California in some wilderness area, and she came upon a mountain lion, and this mountain lion attacked her. And I don't know if she was off her bike, I'm not quite sure how this encounter happened, but the mountain lion was grabbing her, and then she had a friend that came up behind her as she told the story, and there were two of them riding together, and the mountain lion was actually grabbing this girl named Anne, and so the friend grabbed her legs, and she said there was a kind of a tug-of-war going on between the mountain lion and this friend. And then a couple more people came, and so now there's three people trying to scare the mountain lion off, and eventually he did go, and the authorities did take care of that mountain lion. Anne had been hurt badly, but she was airlifted to the nearest hospital, and she was okay. And with some surgeries, she recovered. She was a Christian, and she said that her first thought was, I'm going to die in this moment. Her next thought was, Jesus, help me. And she recognized, as she reflected on this story afterwards and was recovering, God delivered her. And she spoke of that deliverance. Now, why would I tell such a graphic story of deliverance? Well, you're going to hear a picture like that in a psalm that we're going to read in a moment. And it speaks similar kinds of words. I think we have to recognize we're going to be thinking about God's deliverance. And what if he did not? Asking that question, because the psalm asks the question. We have to do that understanding that we can speak to times when you've experienced God's deliverance. We also recognize times where there are tragedies happen where God didn't deliver in the way we would have chosen for him to do so. We don't understand God's timing. Maybe God's deliverance is to take somebody to be with him, which is very, very hard for us. And so I'm not saying that deliverance always happens in a way that's predictable. God is God, and we are not, and we trust that. And yet we can still recognize our dependence on him and the fact that his grace working in this world is the only reason that things are well at all. So let's look at the psalm. It's Psalm 124. This is a psalm of ascents, which there are 15 psalms called that in the book of Psalms, from 120 to 134. And four of them are attributed to King David, and this is one of them. And people think that these were songs that they would sing as they were going to the festivals that the Jewish people were to go to. On the road, perhaps they sang these songs. And also when they were worshiping together, maybe they were part of the worship time. But these are worshipful songs, praising and trusting in God. So this is one of those. So Psalm 124, let's please stand to hear God's word. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away, the torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your deliverance. We pray that you help us to hear you, in the power of your Spirit tonight. We pray that you prepare us to be shaped and to move out again into your world as you have called us. Thank you again, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may take your seats. What if it were not the Lord who was on our side? What if God hadn't been working on our side? A question that David asks, that we can ask. We don't know really when, what the issue was, particularly this time, but David is asking a question. And so we walk through that, and we, again, I want us to just hear this psalm. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. And I think we have to recognize that God does work in his world. There is common grace generally in the world. And yet the fact of being able to say God is on our side in the sense that we are in his family is not a given. That is, they were speaking it in this time as God's chosen people. We can say that now as followers of Jesus Christ, but it is for those who have said, God is working in my life, I cooperate with that work, I believe in him. I'm part of his family, because that's what God has said. But when we are at that point of saying, I believe in Jesus, then we can recognize that we trust in God's deliverance. Then it goes on in verses 3 through 5, and talks about what would have happened if God had not delivered. Now keep in mind that this may have been King David speaking of a particular time of deliverance, and we can recognize the Jewish people throughout, maybe during captivity or after captivity, hearing those words. Then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. The flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. The raging waters. And so there's two pictures, one of an enemy just swallowing them up and one of a flood just taking them away. But either way, it is destruction. If God had not intervened, we would have been destroyed. So even though they as a people suffered and were taken into captivity and suffered bitterly, yet they recognize that they were not destroyed. That God was still with them and delivered them. And so David is asking the question here, what if he had not, as a way of growing in trust? Then it goes to praise, and it says, blessed be the Lord. He's not given us over as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. It's a picture of someone who's in a lot of trouble. The predator has you bite with his teeth, or the bird caught in the net. In either case, it's a picture of being caught, and we don't really have any chance on our own of escaping, and so it's only in God's deliverance. So we praise God that as we are delivered, it's only he who can do that. And then there are those beautiful words at the end, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Our help in the name, in the reputation of the Lord, in who God is, the one who made heaven, the one who made earth, the creator. He is the one whom we depend. After asking the question, what if he had not, we ask that question to focus more on recognizing that God has delivered, that God is working. And God is our help. And so it's pointing us toward trust. We recognize in a broken world that there are things that could take us out, that could destroy God's church, but they won't because God is working. So we can ask, what if that were not the case? But again, that's to point us to recognizing that that is the case, to trusting in God. As I have thought through this, I remember some years ago I had a good friend whose son had a tumor behind his ear and next to his brain. And so it was right in between. It was not malignant, but it was growing, and very delicate, of course, right in where it was. And so they had to have surgery to have that removed. And the surgery went well, and he's fine still. But in that time, you know that when you have that delicate of a surgery, you don't shrug your shoulders and say, well, any surgeon is fine, yeah, whatever, just take it out. I mean, that it's not a whatever kind of situation. This is, I want the best surgeon we can find, and trusting God in that, and that God will bring us to that person. Your focus, because you know that it's a delicate situation. In a similar way, and in a bigger way, as we walk through life, we recognize that we are trusting in the only one who can deliver us. That is, that we are trusting in God. And so as we ask the question, what if he had not, we do that again, pointing to the realization that God does deliver. It calls us to belief and to trust. Who could ask this question? Well, any of us can. The church that is in the part of the world that is where the church is persecuted now, can ask this question. They are in difficult times. They suffer for their faith. But the persecuted church is strong in their faith. So they can ask the question, what if God had not, to point them to trust that God does deliver? The church in America and Canada can ask that question. We are a church here also that in some ways we have our issues, our concerns, but God still keeps the church strong. So we can ask, what if he did not, pointing us to the fact that God does keep us strong. And individually, we have struggles, we have illnesses, we have a variety of things that can be difficult. What if God had not delivered us? We ask that question pointing to the reality that God does and that we trust him. So asking that question then, how do we respond? What do we do to kind of work with that question? So I think we can just see a couple of things in this psalm. One of those is that we remember what God has done in the past. Remember God's deliverance. We look back to gain trust. You know, many times, maybe we realize it, maybe we don't, but we're like that bird caught in the net and we can't get out. But God delivers us. And we recognize God's care daily and moment by moment. And recognize also that this is pointing to Jesus. I mean, we can ask that question about God's deliverance moment by moment in life, but in the big sense also, we can ask the almost horrifying question, what if Jesus had not done his work? What if he had decided, I don't want to go through that pain? What if God had said that? Now, I don't ask that to doubt our faith. I ask that to have us appreciate our salvation. Because that, when we talk about what if God had not delivered, what if it had not been God on our side, really that's what it brings, what the question brings us to. And that's horrifying. But we do that again to remember that Jesus did come to deliver us. God has provided salvation. And so we hear that and we ask that question, but we come to this tremendous thankfulness that God has delivered us. And then we move to praise. We remember and then we praise God. In verse 6 it says, blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We praise God for his salvation in Jesus, for his daily care, for bringing us through what each of us needs to walk through. I think told you before that early on when I was doing work as a pastor, I would frequently get to about Wednesday night, Thursday morning, and think, you know, as a preacher, it's always Sunday's coming. And there's just no way. This is not going to come together. I can't do it this week. And God always brought me through. And one of the things I think that helped to work through that was to begin to develop a memory of those weeks where I was sure it wouldn't work, and then it did. Not because of anything I did, but because God carried me through. That this memory of God bringing us through, that gives us strength and helps us to see that He'll continue to do that because God is faithful. Now, your responsibilities are different than what I'm describing, but I think all of us can look back and remember there were times I didn't think I could get through that, and God carried me through. And to praise Him for those times is to help us to remember for the future that God will continue to get me through. Martin Luther had a thought that we tend to, when we're in a time of danger, we tend to see that pretty clearly and pretty intensely. But after that time, we tend to kind of minimize it. Now, maybe, maybe not, but at least some do, where it kind of starts to fade, and we maybe don't remember the danger quite to the point as when we were in it. Now, some of that, and there's a lot of reasons for that, but he wrote at one place that part of what that could be is he thought Satan trying to diminish our memories so that he diminishes our praise for what God delivered us through. And his thinking was that we need to remember where the danger was, what we've been delivered from, so that we can continue to praise God for that in the future. Inviting us to remember God's care, to think about ways that moment by moment God cares for us. And then we trust God for the future. We remember the last verse. Our help is in the name of the Lord our God, who made heaven and earth. And again, we're trusting, recognizing that often things don't go as we would choose, yet God is working. And we can begin each day with that kind of a thought. Our help, my help, is in the name, the reputation of the Lord our God, who made heaven and earth. And earth. And that is a comforting thought. There's the singer John Lennon, who had a song a lot of years ago called Imagine. To me, it's a chilling song in the negative sense, because he imagines, what if there were no heaven? What if there were no religion? He saw that in the song as a good thing. I would see it as horrifying. We can ask that what if question, remembering that God does work, has worked, and is working. I know of a pastor once who, I don't know him, but I heard that he wrote this, that he had a friend who had said he was a believer, and then came to a point in his life where he just threw it away and said, I no longer believe, and actually stated that he had become an atheist. And so this pastor still had some contact. They had some biblical, theological conversations, but this person wasn't going to bend. Well, then eventually the person came back to the pastor and said he was struggling with depression. And the pastor, in this piece of writing that he wrote about this, said, I wondered, what do you say to someone who has thrown away their faith, or maybe never had their faith, however you would say that, but says, I'm an atheist? Would you take them to where their belief system naturally goes? Would you say, well, you're just a bunch of random cells anyway, so, or that's all you can expect out of life anyway, so? I mean, you don't want to do that, but he said, what do you say? That's kind of like the what if question. What if that were true? It would be horrible. And yet, as a believer, we can know that our help is in the name of the Lord our God, who made heaven and earth. One other thing that I want to note in terms of trusting God for the future is that I think that recognizing, asking that what if question and recognizing that if it were not for God's intervention, we would be swept away, destroyed, without hope, needs to bring us to a strong sense of humility before God. And to lack that humility puts us in danger. I read a piece by an individual. He wrote actually some well-known writing on this. His name is Dan Walker, and he was part of a ministry to go into brothels and places where women were caught into the sex trade and to try to get them out of that. And so it was a ministry into that sort of very, very difficult situation. Sadly, though, he fell into sexual sin as part of this. And he talks about his lack of humility and how he started to go the wrong direction. So I'm going to just read some of this. It says, he describes how the high and the burden of ministry took over his life. The adrenaline that pulsed through my veins during a rescue operation was more powerful and addictive than any extreme sport or self-induced high. The thrill and the deep satisfaction that came with seeing a victim walk free from bondage and fear was exhilarating. I had never been so alive. It should come as no surprise then that as time passed and I completed more missions, I started to change. This was not noticeable to me at the time, and I was only dimly aware of the growing distance between me and those around me. Having witnessed firsthand the horror of the sex trade and knowing how relatively easy it was to do something about it, I became even more eager to return to the front lines and rescue those I knew were still enslaved. In some cases, the names and the faces of the victims began to haunt me, and I increasingly felt the burden of responsibility to go back for them. I began to feel the weight of the world on my shoulders, and even came to believe that if I were not successful in my missions, then the victims concerned would never be rescued. If I did not go back for them, they would remain there forever. I was finding it harder and harder to relax and to come down from the state of hypervigilance that my work required. These small but significant changes were the tip of an iceberg that was growing largely undetected beneath the surface of my life. And like any undetected iceberg, it was to become very dangerous. A lack of humility, the thinking that we can handle it on our own, can help us to lose sensitivity to other people. It can help us to lose our moral compass. It can distance us from God and from others. And it's dangerous. God calls us to serve him, but we serve him recognizing that he is the one who delivers. Our help is in the name of the Lord our God, and we depend on him for every breath and to work in every situation. We trust fully in him. What if he had not worked? That question leads us It should lead us to a deep and a thoughtful trust. Someone once said, if you ever walk along and see a turtle on top of a fence post, you know he didn't get there by himself. The same is in a way true of us when we are successful and doing well in life, that God helped us. We didn't do it on our own. God calls us to be people who recognize that dependence. To conclude, I want to read some words from the New Testament that say this from a little different perspective. From Romans 8, verses 31 to 34, and then 37 to 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. And then verse 37. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Trust in the name of the Lord our God. What if you had not been on our side? But that question is asked to remember that you are working powerfully. We thank you for your daily work in this world, and we thank you for salvation that you so graciously give us through Jesus Christ. We pray that you will bring us to even a deeper trust as we hear your word tonight. We pray that you will help us to grow in trust and confidence and yet also in humility, remembering that our help is only in you, the Lord our God, the maker of heaven and earth. Thank you for the strength, the deliverance that you give. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And we sing together, let all things now living. As we prepare to go out, we do so knowing that the God who delivers is with us every moment. We hear together these words of blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. And all God's people said, Amen.